Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Well, how about that? You're here at The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com, The Advertising Show, a Big Radio Midgets production. Larry Weber is our special guest out of Boston, brand new book, at least over the summertime here, Sticks and Stones, How Digital Businesses, Business Reputations Are Created Over Time and Lost in a Click. That never happens, does it? Ha ha. Larry is also chairman of the W2 Group, a global marketing services ecosystem that helps CMOs in their new role as builders of communities and content aggregators. And we'll tell you more about Larry, his book, and find out what he's up to these days here at The Advertising Show. We've got, just a few moments away, Gene Bliss, who has a brand new book out as well, I Love You More Than My Dog. And rules based on belief is what Gene is talking about today here on The Advertising Show. Think about that as you construct the rules of your company. It doesn't matter whether you're a service company or, you know, whatever type of provider you are. How do you make the rules up? Are they your rules? Are they more reflective of what your customers might expect to see as rules of good behavior and such? We also have Shamin Abbas later on. It's the new rules of news releases here at The Advertising Show as we are in the holiday season, of course. And basically, stimulating holiday feelings are ahead of schedule. I'm stimulated.
How do you know that?
I don't know. As a result of the dire economy, retailers remain anxious. Well, don't we all? About the parsimonious mood among shoppers. And basically, the National Retail Federation predicts Christmas sales will be down about 1%. Okay, from Christmas 08. Okay, 1%. Not as bad as last year when the retail holiday revenue fell 3.4% from 07, but still what they're suggesting, still not in positive category. New aspects include sending the Macy's Santa on a tour of 25 cities in 25 days. That's kind of cool. And an animated special on CBS sponsored by Macy's to be broadcast coming up on the 11th of December, which the retailer is calling an honorary National Believe Day. And of course, JCPenney is doing a whole bunch of stuff there. The Joy of Giving. Merry Christmas to all and to all a great price. One ad proclaims, give like Santa, save like Scrooge. Another says, give NYC style at JCP prices. A third ad attests or asserts, I should say. So, We're in the spirit here, you know. It's all good. It's a great time of the year.
I think they've got it all wrong, Ray. The anxiety doesn't set in until you get your Amex statement in January. It's not really, you know, it's the American way. You go out, get, you know, buy your gifts, lay down your plastic, and, you know, go to your holiday parties, have that extra hit, you know, right before you leave, so you can forget about all the money you're spending, and then the anxiety sets in for all of those that are, you know, living in the doldrums of the winter months. Not you in Texas, but those elsewhere, and then you know, that bluesy feeling sets over you around January and doesn't leave till around what, April?
It's called denial. April, if you can pay your cards off in that amount of time, more than likely it's 0% for 12 months, so you're faced with the same thing, and you compound it for Christmas of 2010. Not a good place to be, but but in the meantime, you know, shop wisely. And I like this thing there. So give like Santa, save like Scrooge. I've always been a big proponent of that. And you know, it's not giving of gifts that I like to do. I like to give of myself, okay? I'd rather much do something for somebody than as opposed to give them a box wrapped in a pretty paper and stuff. So
you just reminded me what your gift was last year. I need to get back with you on that.
You're going to wax my car, is what I recall you said you're going to do. That, something like that. Gene Bliss is here with us at The Advertising Show. Rules based on belief. It works like magic when you've got it. Let's listen.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Believing, the act of honoring and trusting, is a unique and special characteristic that sets beloved companies apart. It makes them human, and it bonds people to them. Your decisions, grounded in belief, prove how much you honor customers and employees. They say how fearless you are in suspending cynicism. They indicate whether you nurture people and relationships to their full potential. What you decide to believe defines the spirit inside your organization, and it sets the tone for your interaction with customers. Trusting your employees and customers goes beyond blind belief. Belief includes the selection and preparation of employees so that they can do their best work. It means showing customers the rule book and getting rid of stupid rules that aren't necessarily in a relationship based on belief. Search for these indicators of your ability to believe. How much trust exists in the front line to make decisions for customers? Are all the rules necessary? Is your selection process rigorous enough so you can trust the people you hire? Does your company have an intrinsic trusting relationship with your customers?
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
Hey, thanks, Gene Bliss. As always, here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. What do you have there?
I thought this was interesting, Ray. Time Warner will be retaining the corporate jets when the struggling internet service is spinning off the media giant, according to amended Security and Exchange Commission's filing. The Time Warner company also plans to retain a number of patents and domain licensed to AOL. So the next time, Ray, that you're flying up to Silicon Valley, and of course you fly economy like most of us do, take a really good long look at the guy sitting next to you. It may be AOL boss Tim Armstrong, because he's now going to have to fly commercial. You know, it's interesting that Time Warner would be retaining those kind of assets when they're spinning off AOL. But, gosh, I don't know about you, but if I'm Tim Armstrong, I'm wondering why I left Google at this point. So
yeah, no kidding. Yeah. And there's a thing to be said for NetJets and the opportunity to take advantage of those flights, and in some cases it does make sense to have those things. They are not a perk. They are a genuinely, accountably good business tool, but not for Ford Motor Company. Okay.
Hey, you know, before I forget, if you're a pilot and you're flying over Minneapolis, great time to check your personal email.
You know, when I heard that story, that goes back a couple of weeks, when I heard that story, I thought, you know, wouldn't it have been fun if they were going through a school zone at the time and they got a ticket for texting in a school zone? Because as you well know, here as we back in the school year, it's in full swing. A lot of the places have now tagged you if you're on the cell phone, if you're texting, if you're doing anything, if you look like you want to make a phone call, you're going to get pulled over and probably get a $200 ticket. So it's good. Larry Weber's coming up here, chairman of W2 Group, Inc., also author of a new book called Sticks and Stones, How Digital Business Reputations Are Created Over Time and Lost in a Click. Larry serves basically as a public relations visionary. In 87, he established the Weber Group, which within a decade became the world's largest technology public relations firm. Interpublic purchased Weber in 96. In 2000, Larry was named chairman and CEO of Interpublic's Advanced Marketing Services Group. 01, Larry built Weber Shandwick, which today is the world's largest public relations firm. It says it right there on the press release.
Larry's, well, then it must be true.
Well, it has to be true. So, and what is this? Let's see, social media marketing firms, a RacePoint Group, Social Media Digital Influence Group, and branding company, Two Martinis. Now, that caught my attention, so I'm going to find out more about that, too, as well. So Larry Weber joins us here at the Advertising Show. It's being powered by Shipple.com and a great platform for marketing and advertising. It's called Tendency. Check it out. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com. Shipple, Ed and his crew do a great job for us here at the Advertising Show. Stay with us. We will be back with you here in just a minute.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe.
Stronger than dirt. Stronger than dirt.
Here at The Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe with our very special guest out of Boston this weekend. Larry Weber, chairman of the W2 Group, Inc., and also author of a book called Sticks and Stones, How Digital Business Reputations Are Created Over Time and Lost in a Click. Out of Boston, Larry, welcome to the show. It is great to have you here.
Hey, great to be here.
Yeah, tricky title there, Larry. I assume that we're talking words can hurt you if you follow that on to its logical conclusion. Before we talk about the book, why did you decide to write the book? Did the folks at Wiley decide they needed a new author, or you just needed a few extra coin? You didn't make enough money with your Shadrach sale deal? What's going on here?
Yeah, well, you know, it actually was my third book, so, and I actually enjoy writing. So, you know, after a hard day of work at, you know, with marketing types, which is challenging, I like making a martini and sitting down and writing about the future of marketing. And, you know, I'm lucky enough, bless my first book, nobody bought. the second one, Marketing to the Social Web, is well over 50,000 and selling extremely well. It was one of the first books on social media. And the people at Wiley, you're right, they said, hey, you got another one in you? And I said, well, yeah, you know, it's sort of going to have a veiled cosmetic to it, because it's really my book about the future of PR. And I don't talk about PR that much in Sticks and Stones, because I think it's changing so radically, much how advertising changed about, 12, 13 years ago with the first generation of the web. I think PR is having radical changes, and for good, for long term. And I thought, you know, someone that had done what I had done in the PR industry should write something about digital reputations and, you know, whether you be an individual, a small business, or a large Fortune 50 company. And that's what I decided to do. And Sticks and Stones, actually, my wife was, I kept not knowing what to call it, and she said, well, you know what, there's that old, you know, little saying, sticks and stones can break your bones,
sure,
and they're not going to hurt me. So I thought, you know, that's a cute name, and Wiley liked it, and we put it down there, and I interviewed a number of people and got the book done, and it's doing well. And so I'm, you know, I'm excited about that, and I enjoy doing it. And it's great for business, too, as you guys must know. You interview a lot of authors that also run businesses. Everybody else brings in a business card. I bring in a book, you know. So
yeah, much better. Well, much better.
And you're right. A lot of people write books these days, and it's a good reflection on one's company and their knowledge and so forth. And yeah, I like it. It's rare, I guess, when an author actually gets the title that he submits or she submits. And the interesting idea that your wife submitted to you there. You know, let's talk a little bit about your book. You cite in a study that found that 52% of the 269 risk executives surveyed said that reputation risk was more significant than regulatory, human capital, IT, market risk, credit risk, etc. What do you think this is?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of reasons. I think, first of all, people don't totally understand the impact on their reputations as they go out online. And they don't have a digital strategy. A lot of companies try to control everything, which affects their reputation in a number of ways. That's one. Two is, I think in this day and age, that a lot of companies don't understand that they're at real risk of their brand taking hits as reputation and influence combine in the digital environments to create reputation. And you know, you need to build some what I call, you know, brand, you know, some online equity or social media equity, so that, you know, when you do have some downtimes or some negative things, that you can work through it. You know, what's taking the place of a lot of marketing is peer-to-peer recommendations. So people are asking one another, you know, did you like this company? Did you like this product? What do you think of the people that work at that company? Et cetera. So I believe actually reputation is starting to take a front, you know, row seat to how companies, you know, shape their image and how they actually are successful at the end of the day.
So. And I suppose with rep creation, you have rep management, which we're going to talk a little bit about later in the interview. Why do you think there's such a trend towards, let me back up. Let me ask you, obviously there's a motivation behind wanting to create reputation, manage reputation. Is it because the digital world has forced those that used to think they could get by with just, you know, whatever reputation evolved, that's making today's companies a little more sensitive about what their reputation is?
Yeah, I think also, I think, you know, as you, I'm sure you guys, many shows have shown over time, that, you know, the last 75 years of the broadcast era, a lot of corporations felt they could buy their reputation, that they could just buy so much media and so much advertising that they could try to, you know, basically control their, you know, how they're viewed. In this next generation of the web, what's happening is people have become more transparent, more open. They're sharing more. They're discussing companies. They're discussing products openly and directly. And that's making companies pause and go, you know what? You know, we've got to be open and direct with people when things are bad, when things are good. And we have to put reputation high on our list of strategic assets. And, you know, and that takes hard work. You know, it's not just pay your money and, you know, that's what marketing we get will affect change. It's really your everyday behavior and the discussions that the company has with its customers and potential customers.
On the Advertising Show, it's Ray Schillens, Brad Forsyth, and our special guest, Larry Weber, who is chairman of the W2 Group out of Boston, also the author of a brand new book called Sticks and Stones, How Digital Business Reputations Are Created Over Time and Lost in a Click, published by Wiley & Sons. Back here in just a moment with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show. We'll continue talking to Larry.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
You worked too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy. Alka-Seltzer, plop, plop, fizz, fizz.
Larry Weber is our special guest this weekend at The Advertising Show out of Boston, chairman of the W2 Group and author of the book called Sticks and Stones, How Digital Business Reputations Are Created Over Time and Lost in a Click. Larry, it's great to have you here on the show.
Yeah, glad to be here.
I found it intriguing in your book early on you say reputation equity is the slack someone is willing to cut you or your business when you make a mistake. Now, explain what you mean by this, Larry.
Yeah, that, you know, it's a very simple concept. In the day-to-day, you know, sort of managing your reputation online, where you're giving honest answers, you're trying to link to the right sources, you're trying to educate publics, you're trying to be a good corporate citizen or a good product manager, et cetera, et cetera. I think when then there is, some problem with the product or if there's a recall or, you know, like we always see these airlines that, you know, sometimes keep people on tarmac for 8 hours. You know, at least if there is some reputation equity that's been built, you know, over time that you've really worked hard, most people are going to cut you some slack. They're going to say, hey, this doesn't happen that often. You know, I've had only good experiences with them. And, I've liked what I've heard from them. Let's cut some slack right now. Now, if it keeps happening, you have a problem. But I think it's different than a company that doesn't keep in some kind of dialogue and some thoughtful conversation going with their customer base and, again, their potential customer base. Then people won't cut you the slack. It's like, hey, I never heard from them or they've, you know, they've hidden things from me. They aren't transparent. So they don't have that reputation equity. So that's what I mean by that.
You know, and you mentioned airlines. The JetBlue brand is a fabulous brand, and it's a great example of what you're talking about. They had a problem with that, and yet I think, most people were surprised to hear that JetBlue had the issue on the tarmac, and yet were willing to give them some slack. So that was a real-world example of what you're talking about. Does reputation connect to brand equity?
It totally connects with brand equity. You know, I get a lot of pushback from my Madison Avenue buddies, but I believe we're moving into an era where at least I define brand as the dialogue you have with your consumer. And the stronger the dialogue, the stronger your brand's going to be. The weaker the dialogue, the weaker your brand's going to be. So you've got to step up and really take responsibility. And that makes for a great reputation, you know. And JetBlue does that. I think Southwest does that. In technology, Cisco and IBM are doing that more and more. In healthcare, I see, you know, Pfizer doing this. So, you know, I equate now more and more reputation and brand, and that's what marketers are going to have a challenge with, is we don't any longer, we're moving away from sort of this pillared group of marketing sets where somebody's in charge of reputation, somebody's in charge of brand, somebody's in charge of influence, you know, whether that be in Washington or another place. And that's all starting to blend and blur because of our advanced digital platform.
So. Hasn't that really been always a part of the overall brand? Take away the digital stuff and all that kind of. I mean, yeah. Hasn't that always been part of the equation, Larry?
Not what I saw, you know, growing up, guys, you know, in this business. I saw the marketing guys and the ad guys had nothing to do with reputation programs. It was always the corporate communications department that hired the PR firms and sort of handled the speeches and the, you mm-hmm. know, the annual reports and the letters to the editor and the the letters back to customers when they complained. You know, so there was a real separation, almost church and state, of what I would call reputation work and what I would call paid media work, or the advertising strategies and media buying. And that is changing now because of, you know, the digital environments. And I think that's all, you know, for the good, that everybody has to look at the holistic view of a company's brand, and as reputation plays into it more strongly.
Certainly levels the playing field for other competitors out there, I would say.
It absolutely does. It also opens the door for, you know, brand new companies that might not be anywhere near as big but offer great service. I mean, look at Zappos, you know.
Yeah.
You know, everybody thought this was just an online shoe company, which it basically was. But if you talk to Tony Say, you know, that it's I have a bit in Sticks and Stones in the book when I interviewed Tony. I mean, he said, you know what, it's not about shoes, just like Amazon's not about books. It's about relentless customer service and listening to them and talking with them and, you know, giving them what they want. And, you know, and then he sells it for $1 billion to Amazon. So, you know, good for him, but he really understood that the customer is king or queen. And also, he took a page from Steve Jobs, which is the customer experience is everything. All right, the experience is everything, and it's got to be great, and that's what creates great reputation, great feeling, and great brand.
Good statement to take a break here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. Larry's new book is called Sticks and Stones, How Digital Business Reputations Are Created Over Time and Lost in a Click. Larry is out of Boston and chairman of the W2 Group with Ray and Brad here at the Advertising Show. Take a break and we'll be back in just a moment.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. What kinds of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
Out of Boston this weekend, welcome back to The Advertising Show. Our very special guest is Larry Weber, chairman of W2 Group, Inc., and author of Sticks and Stones, How Digital Business Reputations Are Created Over Time and Lost in a Click. Larry, it's great to have you here at The Advertising Show.
Thanks. Love being here.
In your book, you list Technorati, Rapleaf, Blog Plus, Pulse, I should say, all free tools companies can use to monitor and manage their company's online reputation. Some may be familiar with those, others may not. Explain how they work, Larry.
Yeah, simply like a service like Technorati, and spelled just like it sounds, Technorati, and you can just Google it. Everybody. They help rate and they cover and monitor all websites, all blogs, all social media. And you can ask any questions. You can find out, you know, where your company's being talked about, where your products are being talked about. So at least you start to understand a landscape, all right? And I would say that these are more, and this isn't degrading them at all, they're very good tools, but they're free and they're more snorkelers of the web. So you get sort of just a basic landscape, a lay of the land of what people are saying, positive, negative, where they're saying it. Is it on Huffington Post? Is it on, you know, TechCrunch, whatever site it might be on? You know, and then there's other tools that we're finally seeing, a second generation of tools I talk about in the book, like Radian 6, you know, Symphony, these tools that are a little more deep sea diving, where you not only find out where you're being talked about, but you get a sort of a ringside view of the conversation. So let's go even deeper on what they're saying. Are they getting the messages? Are people getting the messages you're sending out? You know, what are they saying about your competition? How often are they downloading things? You know, how often are they sending links out, you know, to microsites that you might manage, et cetera? So you're very rapidly seeing a set of tools that are giving you windows on what is happening with your reputation and conversations. And again, the free ones will give you a basic thing, but then, like anything in Western society, to go a little deeper, you're going to have to spend some money.
Yeah, there's an interesting segment in your book that discussed how email can be a tool for building a company's digital reputation. If you're like me, I found that interesting in terms of how in the world can you use email, but yet you explain in detail how you can to build your reputation. Explain that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny how, especially marketers in our country especially, I mean, we're supposed to be the leaders in marketing. And, you know, email is one of the most personal and most thoughtful way to connect with people, and it's very accepted. And I'm amazed how it sort of was sort of thrown out, you know, the sort of the baby with the bathwater as we moved into the social media age, which, by the way, I'm a very big proponent of and writer about. But one example would be permission-based email, which people used for, quite a bit maybe 3-4 years ago. And this is when you've already are working with your bank, you know, or your department store, your hardware store, whatever. Once you trust somebody and you're having a business relationship, it's okay to send me an email now and then. You know, Amazon sends me an email and it's not, you know, objectionable. It says, hey, we saw you bought a lot of this author. Have you thought of this one? Or we posted some videos of rare footage of this author reading. You might want to look at it. They're not asking me to buy anything. So, you know, that kind of communication that, hey, we already have a relationship, why not continue that and try to build that? Don't take advantage of it if you're a company, but use it to your advantage to do that. And anyways, it'll give you a break from texting your kids, so you can have time to have a little more thoughtful discourse.
What a concept, huh, Larry? Hey, no, we're actually out of time here, Brad. Larry, I've got a website here. It says thelarryweber.com. Is that correct?
That's not a website. That's my Twitter account.
That's your Twitter account, okay.
Yeah, that I tweet about. And you know what? Here's one for your audience as we as we sign off, Mr. Social Media here. I'm still out there on Twitter. I think it's a good communications platform, maybe like email for the future, but I don't like that it's still very broadcast nature, and especially that people can have an alias. So that's why I'm the Larry Weber instead of something like Zorro number 4.
That sounds a lot better. Hey, Larry, sell lots of books, and we certainly have had a pleasure talking to you today here at the Advertising Show.
Well, I enjoyed it a lot, and have a great holiday.
You got it. The Advertising Show, Ray and Brad, back in just a moment with more.
Under pressure? Get creative concepts fast. Run a global pitch on openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 advertising and marketing creators from 125 countries. Simply take 15 minutes to fill out our online brief form and we'll take care of the rest. From world-class agencies to the best independents to the brightest freelancers, openad.net global creatives can deliver creative concepts direct to your desktop in a matter of days. Why not save time, energy, and money by quickly sourcing concepts from the world's brightest creative minds? Visit openad.net and see how we're revolutionizing the way ideas are created and traded. It's simple, it's fast, and it's global. Openad.net, the smarter way to create your advertising from the freshest creative minds on the planet. Visit openad.net today to find out more.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Another public service announcement from Brill Cream. Men, beware. Use one dab of Brill Cream. Just a little dab makes your hair look excitingly clean.
At the Advertising Show, Ray and Brad saying thanks once again to our guest Larry Weber, author of Sticks and Stones. The LarryWeber.com, I guess, is what that is. Sticks and Stones, / Sticks and Stones is his website. Bob Gilbreth, author of The Next Evolution in Marketing, will be with us next week here with Ray and Brad, and looking forward to that show as well. Just a few moments away from another feature with Shameen Abbas talking about the new rules of news releases. Brad, what do you have there?
Well, you know, this is interesting, Ray. I found that the Coalition for Innovation Media Measurement, the new media-led research initiative that aims to rival Nielsen, is launching a website this past week at CIMM-US.org and plans to name a managing director next month. The group is also expected to announce new members, including media agency Carat. We know the people there. CIM was formed with the intention of offering seed funding for those firms who could help in new generation measurement for the TV video industry. The organization is preparing to officially release its long-awaited request for proposals, according to executives familiar with the decision. So a group has been formed to say, in effect, we're not happy with Nielsen. We're not happy with how they measure our industry. We're going to create our own measurement capability, I suppose. So it'll be interesting to see a new company that is created. You know, they tried to do that with Arbitron, as you well know, Ray, a few years ago, and didn't work out. And I think, you know, for those of us in the industry, we're hard to make to accept change from the old ways, not because the old ways can't be improved on.
Right.
It's just that people aren't willing to, you know, go to a new way of doing things, especially when it comes to something as important as ratings.
Well, in the case of Arbitron, though, with the, you know, with the PPM and such, I think it was a time for a relook at how things are measured, and they're obviously finding some very interesting things. That shared audience is a lot more than stations would have liked to acknowledge in the past. So, you know, you can't, when you're wearing one of those things, you can't really cheat and say, or you know, make a mistake and write down something that's not actually true.
But yet the Hispanic community is up in arms with Arbitron because they say they're undermeasured. They've said that long ago when it was a diary method, and you know, there's some controversy around PPM yet. Though I agree, it's an improvement in many ways, but there's still controversy around that. There were some other companies that tried to create a new way of measuring audience. Clear Channel was trying to negotiate a deal with Arbitron and get their costs down. It was just a mess, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's time for
next
change
for somebody else. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not my mess, man. The new rules of news releases. Shamin Abbas here at the Advertising Show.
And now it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
The media no longer stands between your press release and the consumer world. The web has changed all the rules, and now the masses read your releases directly. We found that out when promoting an innovative cosmetic product. The beauty bloggers, as well as the mainstream print media, drove people to find our press releases online. You therefore need to be speaking their language and writing, knowing that you're reaching buyers directly. The media is still part of overall communication strategies, and in many places, still utterly vital. But remember that your audience is no longer a handful of just editors. It's the millions of people surfing the internet. Therefore, don't just send news releases when big news is happening. Find new and good reasons to send them more frequently. Create news releases that appeal directly to the end consumer, not just to the journalist that you're targeting. Write your releases with great attention to keyword-rich copy. Include offers that compel the consumer to respond to your release in some way. Place links in the releases to point potential consumers to your website or special landing pages relevant to the release. And optimize news release delivery for searching and browsing. You can add social media tags for Technorati, Dig, and Delicious so that your release is found easily. Drive people into the sales process with press releases. These are fundamental changes in the use of press releases that can drive buyers straight to your company or your client's products and services at a time when they're ready to buy.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
Thanks, Shamin, on the Advertising Show. Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, Bob Gilbreth, our author and guest next week, The Next Evolution in Marketing, coming up here at the Advertising Show. Is the holiday season is in full swing here, and I won't ask if you did your Christmas shopping yet, because that's a silly question. Basically, advertisers are slowly returning to the malls, putting their messages in front of receptive shoppers, according to a recent report from iCorp, a company that offers advertising at 250 malls across the country. Several categories have significantly increased spending in the second half of the year. Advertisers in pharmaceutical, insurance, and sports have spent four times as much on mall advertising between July and last month, October, compared to the same period last year. Energy and fuel and fashion and communications categories doubled their spending. Other active categories include media and television, food, beauty services, education, fashion accessories, and healthcare in there too. So if you're at the mall, there's a good chance you're seeing more of that, as basically folks are looking for new and different ways to reach consumers. And I suppose when you think about it, we are so prone to, sadly, that little itch, you know, you see it, you want it, let's go get it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's too late. You want to take it back? Nah. Oh, heck. And then the regret comes in. And then you never will take it back, I guess. So.
Another meaningless purchase.
Yeah. Boy, I hate it when that happens, don't you? We've got time for something quick here, Brad, if you've got that.
Well, I know you're a big Stephen Colbert fan. I am as well. If you are, a Colbert Report app means iPhone users will never be without The Word, the $1 advertising-supported app released by Viacom's Comedy Central recently, includes every Word video done by Stephen Colbert so far and will be updated weekly. So there you go.
Okay. Well, very good. We are back, as I said, next week with Bob Gilbreth, the author of The Next Evolution in Marketing, and lots more to come. And we certainly do appreciate your support throughout the year. It's absolutely amazing to me that we are wrapping up here in November, wrapping up another year. This began in 2001, in the fall of 01, as a matter of fact, just a few days post 9/11. And it's been going good. Tell your friends about the advertising show and hope you continue to listen and share it with others as well here at theadvertisingshow.com. A lot of great stuff up here as well. Also want to say thanks to our many sponsors and participants here at the Advertising Show. Shameen Abbas and Gene Bliss and, of course, all the great guests we have, and not to mention Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. Thanks for listening.